This morning we are looking in the New Testament at the book of Acts in chapter 14. So if you were to open your Bible and look at the back quarter of the Bible and get to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John part, right? The Gospels. Acts follows that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And we're in chapter 14 of the book of Acts. Now I want to ask you, what is the first thing you hear when you tell someone about your faith in Jesus Christ? So you've gotten to a situation and you have a chance to pipe up about it. The circumstance is just right, heart beating in your throat, and I actually know something that's appropriate for this moment that I'm going to say. You get a chance. God opens an opportunity. What's the first thing you hear back when you tell someone about your faith in Jesus Christ? When you tell people about the God of creation and his only begotten Son and love and miracles and resurrection, what is the first thing that people say in response? Is it about suffering and science, violence, abuse, something about the supernatural? What is it that occupies the minds of people in the world that we live in? Think about that. We spend time every week in this room looking at the message of God. We spend a lot of words considering the people in the story, the geography, the history, the honest portrayal of human nature. Do you get that when you go to church and someone says, you know what we're like, you know what they're like? They had to get from over here in Israel to up there in Turkey, right? Do you get that? When people talk about the truth of the message and the reliability of the promises in the Bible, right? We focus mainly on the promise maker, who is God. We spend all that time doing this, and then we go to work on Monday, the second day of our week. And we live among people who are coping with the first day of their week. Right? Do you have that dynamic? Do you come here and you go off to a good start, and then do you go to work and people are like, I can't believe I have to start this way. Oh, the weekend. Boy, let me tell you about it. But here we are. This is our start. And that's just a nuanced frame of reference. We're not even talking life and death stuff yet. But we go to people with the message about God and our Creator, who is good and does good, to speak to people steeped in bad. Right? I don't like Mondays. I want a shoe. No, boom. The chuckling people are fans of the Boomtown Rats. Right? So Mondays, I don't like Mondays. People, right, like rough diamonds, valuable in the right hands, but when they're not valued, when they're unrecognized, when they're unrealized, and just trying to make a living down here on the hard, stony ground, it's just rocks. Somebody had to go to Africa and say, I'll pay you for those shiny stones. And there's wars fought over them, aren't there? I mean, there was a popular Hollywood movie called Blood Diamonds about the dynamic of people and the fight over these pits where diamonds come out of. But if you're just a guy who lives there, who digs them up with their hand and a shovel, they have no way of taking that and turning it into money. All they can do is work every day and hope not to get shot and hand over the rocks. And then somebody knows somebody somewhere where the market is and where the people who carve them are, and then there's this value. People like rough diamonds. So when you're out there and in the world, what happens to you when you're bold enough to address the elephant in the room and to declare your faith in the good and real God, the only God, the good person who only does good, who loves people? What happens when you declare, as Paul does in Acts chapter 14, you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them? Because that's what Paul does in Acts chapter 14. N.T. Wright wrote a book. He wrote a lot of books. Some people read his books. Some people can't stand his books. But he wrote this line. It's an excellent line. So whether you think I embrace everything that N.T. Wright said or not, I don't care. I don't. Does anybody agree with everybody? Husbands, you all raise your hand and point to your wives. But otherwise, right? N.T. Wright said this, and I think this is useful. It is remarkable what can happen to a message when people insist on inserting it firmly into their own worldview. It is remarkable what can happen to a message when people insist on inserting it firmly into their own worldview. And then that's the introduction to Acts chapter 14. Persecution has led to a refugee church spreading the gospel. These people are on the run and they have trouble. And in Lystra, in verse 8, there was a man sitting who couldn't use his feet and he was crippled from birth. He had never walked. And he listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he sprang up and began walking. That was last week's sermon. But that's what we read. And a miracle! Amazing! God, the Holy Spirit, is at work right now in this story. His work is apparently totally dependent on faith. Faith of the man, but also the faith of Paul, his confidence that this is what God was doing in that place at that time. Get up and walk, and he sprang up walking.